Jed.
Robert.
Radiolab.
So we're going to continue in our little cavalcade of questions and answers.
And the next one up comes from producer Pat Walters.
Hello, Emily, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. So a few months ago, I called this tree scientist.
I'm Emily Burns, and I'm the science director with Save the Redwoods League.
Okay. I have so many questions about trees for you.
All right, awesome.
But I really just had one question. So I read this little tiny article in the spring, I think, which had a fact in it that really shocked me. And the fact was that redwood trees have 12 times as much DNA as humans. Like, is that true?
Well, it looks like it is turning out to be about 8 times bigger than the human genome.
Okay, 8 times. So 12 is close, a little overestimated. Maybe it's not a reliable source. But the idea that, like, these trees would have so much more DNA than us just kind of, like, twisted my brain up in 7 different ways.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Because you usually think of genes as having something to do with complexity.
Exactly.
So if you're Mozart, or you're a tall tree, like, who's going to have the most genes?
Right, like, a redwood tree is basically just a big pine tree. So, like, what is all that extra DNA even doing?
Well, I'm not a geneticist.
Yeah.
I'm a forest conservationist.
Yeah. But one thing Emily was able to tell me is that I was missing the forest for the trees, so to speak.
And why is that?
Well, so Emily told me
that coast redwood, while it does have a very large genome,
there are tons of things that have way more DNA than us.
It's kind of mind-blowing.
You just got to know who to ask. Mm-hmm. We just do like a rundown.
Okay.
Of...
All right. Yep. I can do that.
Cool.
So an onion has 5 times as much.
An onion.
Yeah. Boring little onion.
There are some salamanders with 40 times as much.
40 times. Wow. I've got a list here.
Things like lungfishes.
Lungfish.
Yep.
A cockroach. A newt. Bread wheat.
Really?
A lobster.
A lobster just lies at the bottom of a cold sea and molts.
It gets even worse because at the top of the list, arguably the organism with the most DNA in the world, with 50 times more DNA than a human, is a tiny, not so remarkable looking little Japanese flower.
That's deeply strange.
I know.
It's puzzling.
This, by the way, is biologist Ryan Gregory.
Professor at the University of Guelph in Canada. And my area of study is why certain salamanders have 40 times more DNA than you and I do.
And Ryan told me, like, no one knows exactly why that's the case.
Well, that's why I still have a job, is because this is something we're trying to figure out.
But according to Ryan, here's what we do know.
So in your genome, and I say yours, and I mean that in mine too. I'm not trying to single you out.
Take the human genome.
Your genome is about 1.5 to 2% genes.
Only about 1 to 2% of your DNA is involved in making the stuff that makes up you. That's the stuff we call genes. Now, there's another couple percent that we now think are there to turn those genes on and off, which is important. But the vast majority of your DNA is
kind of accumulated detritus.
Could be a gene that sort of
mutates and degrades and no longer works.
It might be random, redundant copies of other DNA.
For example, it might be AT, a million times.
Some of it is bits of virus
that became essentially stuck in the genome. And so now they're passed on from parent to offspring.
Oh. But the key thing is that all these little random bits of DNA, they're just sort of hanging around. They're not really doing anything. Which, Ryan says, is how you can end up with a huge genome, even though you're just a tree or a frog or a worm or even a single cell.
That's right.
But if they're not doing anything to help me, why?
Well, they would be doing things to help themselves.
Help themselves.
So it's a little bit like, if you think about the bacteria in your gut, most of them are probably just there because you're a nice warm bag of nutrients that is a great place to live if you're a bacterium. That would be kind of the same sort of thing that might be happening in the genome, which is...
But they're not, like, alive, really, right? Like, they're...
Well...
Or are they? I don't...
Well, I don't know. I think it depends a lot on your definition of alive. So, I mean, are viruses alive?
Mm-hmm.
That's a philosophical question that is pretty difficult. But the shift that you have to kind of make in thinking about the genome is less that it's basically the recipe for making you or the blueprint for a human or any of those kinds of things. And think of it almost more like a little ecosystem, a jungle with all kinds of different entities doing their own thing.
But the one thing that they all do is use us
to make copies of themselves.
So in this vast ecosystem, in some part of your DNA, you'll get some ancient virus that just keeps copying itself. A little further down the line, another one doing the same thing. And then in some other part of your DNA,
AT,
you've got this weird chunk just copying itself again and again and again and again. Almost everywhere you look, you have these dumb bits of DNA just copying themselves over and over again, filling up your cells with useless DNA.
So it's like a hitchhiker that gets into your car and you turn around and suddenly, instead of Fred, there's now Fred and Fred.
Yeah.
And then you turn around again, there's Fred and Fred and Fred.
Right.
And then Fred and Fred and Fred and Fred.
And that's pretty much how you end up with these super huge genomes. And sometimes that can be a problem.
Ah, okay. So
Ryan told me about this particular salamander.
Certain group of salamanders called Bellitoglossini.
It's part of a very large family of salamanders that live all over the western half of North America.
They live in the U.S.
At some point, a long, long time ago, something happened in the environment that made the salamanders get littler, which is fine, except for this one problem.
They have big genomes, and the more DNA there is, the bigger the cell is. So more DNA, bigger cell.
Because all the DNA has to go in the nucleus of every single cell. So as these salamanders start getting smaller and smaller and smaller, their bodies are getting smaller and their heads are getting smaller. But because they have these huge genomes,
they tend to have big neurons. And now you're trying to cram a whole bunch of big neurons into a tiny little skull. Well, you're not going to fit as many. And so relative to other salamanders that haven't been miniaturized,
their vision starts to degrade slightly. Their ability to look around in the world and distinguish like what's an insect and what's a leaf gets worse.
Oh dear.
They can't do the kind of visual predation that you normally see in their closer relatives. And instead, they've shifted to being lie-in-wait predators.
Basically, having a huge genome made these salamanders get dumb. And I couldn't help but think about, you know, like all the extra stuff you accumulate.
It's so full of stuff, it's almost hard to get in and close the door behind you.
Like, my partner and I have the storage closet that's just packed with crap.
A watering can, a broom.
And a car battery.
Pile of button-down shirts.
One's a little bit too small, one's just kind of boring.
Pat Walter is very uncomfortable getting rid of things.
Yep. A lot of it, I don't even know why we have it in there.
There's like a 3.5 foot tall roll of brown paper.
Several unfinished art projects. We're in a break period right now.
On top of that is a flower pot.
4 air conditioners.
Oh, there's another backpack.
A shoebox.
I remember when I was in my 20s and like everything I owned fit in a couple of suitcases. I was light, agile, free. But now,
Tupperware bucket full of paint.
Charcoal. Unused fabric.
I have so much of this stuff.
But at least you don't have a closet in which shoes replicate themselves over and over again.
But honestly, sometimes it feels that way. And, you know, I don't want to complain. I feel very lucky to have all of these possessions. But sometimes the pileup starts to feel like a burden.
It does. It feels like a burden.
Like, I feel like I'm going down the salamander road, just getting bigger and dumber and slower, bigger and dumber and slower.
But there are definitely surprises.
But then I talked to science writer Carl Zimmer, and he made me feel a little bit better about all the extra junk in my closet or in my cells.
Literally none of us would be here if not for that one gene.
Because, he says, there's one little bit of DNA that climbed out of the junk closet and made all of us possible.
Well, what is it?
Well, you've actually heard about it before.
What's really special about mammals is that
female mammals, or at least placental mammals, carry young around inside the body.
David Quammen told us about it in a piece we did a while ago called Infective Heredity, and it's basically this gene that makes a protein, which helps make some cells.
These very special layers of cells
in the placenta, cells that let it
grab onto the mother's uterus and pull nutrients in to feed the embryo.
So it carries nutrients in, it protects the fetus from the mother's immune system,
Now, when we talked to David about it...
And how did we get that good idea? Well, we got that good idea from a virus.
We were sort of amazed that this gene had come from a virus. But what I learned from Carl is that this little gene sat in the junk closet of our DNA for millions of years, doing nothing, making little copies of itself, not helping me at all, until suddenly...
Millions of years later, there's a mutation.
And that little useless strip of DNA...
got repurposed, co-opted, it took on a new job for us.
That's amazing.
And now we've evolved a dependence on it so that we have to have it.
Or couldn't be us without it.
Big box with it. So I got a picture frame.
Some notebooks.
Guitar case.
Fishing poles.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know. So that's like the motto of this room. It's like, you never know.
Whatever the hell this is. What is this?
It's a piece of the drafting table that... Where's the drafting table? Do we bring it back to Pennsylvania?
No, it must be in that extra room.
There's a drafting table somewhere. It's missing.